everyone. You are listening to Soul Food A La Carte episode 18. Are you angry with someone? Is there someone who has hurt you, or for whatever reason you have some bitterness toward the person? Check out this 12-minute video clip. Click on the link if you're interested in the full sermon. There's a link for that too. But if you can spare 12 minutes, I think this link, you'll find this helpful. The next sermon is from Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2. I've got two sermons here from Matthew 7. First one, an error in judgment. Some people, many people, use this passage to condemn all judging. Judge not, lest you be judged. That's overused, and it's self-contradictory. Not all judgment is wrong. But even though we know we have to make some judgments, there are some wrong judgments that are condemned in this verse. And this message will alert you to seven kinds of judging that are forbidden in Scripture. Let me just give you a few excerpts from the sermon. One quotation, what matters is what's in your heart, not what's in your past. And then from Romans 14:4, who are you to judge someone else's slave? To his own master he stands or falls. Well, why are we evaluating each other? Is that person you're evaluating your slave? Do they belong to you? This verse implies that the only person you're allowed to judge is someone you own. If you do not own that person as your own personal slave, then you have no business evaluating how well he's doing as a slave. Even if you did own him, and he did answer to you, why would you be a hard master? Has the Lord been a hard master to you? Or has your master in heaven overlooked your foolishness, sin, rebellion, disobedience, stupidity, folly, and mistakes by the hundreds of thousands? Why would we be impatient with one another? Has the Lord been impatient with us? Or has he patiently endured our poor service and waited for us to change for years and decades at a time? Why would we be stingy in granting grace to others? Has God been stingy with us? Or has he done everything imaginable to cover over our sin, even at the cost of his own precious Son? Think about those people who are way down at the bottom of your list right now. They're people who irritate you, or for whatever reason, you just do not like them, or you can't get along with them. Ask yourself, are you for them or against them? Can you honestly say you're on their side? Satan is their accuser. So you're either on their side or the devil's side. Which is it? You know you're on Satan's side when your evaluation lacks mercy. The next sermon in Matthew 7 is titled Logectomy. It's a sermon about getting the log out of your own eye. We are not to point out sin in others while we have a log in our own eye. We're never perfect, so when are we without a log? What is the log, and how do you know for sure when you're rid of it? And why is your sin always a log and the other person's always a speck? Isn't it possible that they're the ones with the log and yours is a speck? This message answers all those questions and gives clear practical instruction on how to obey this important message. I'll give you a few excerpts. Jesus does not require tomorrow's victories today, nor does he hold you responsible for tomorrow's failures today. The mildest unrepentant sin is far worse than the most disgusting repentant sin. And the passages that call us to help people overcome sin are addressed to all people in the church, not just leaders. God wants to dispense his sanctifying grace to his people through all the members of the body in various ways. It's like a spiritual potluck every week, church is. I bring the green beans, someone else brings dessert, someone else has some meat and potatoes. If only a few people bring something, then we all go hungry. It's also a potluck of the various forms of God's grace. A handful of people cannot feed the whole church. Then from James 1, verses 26 and 27, true religion. Now, I have to be honest, I find this to be kind of a so-so sermon. I don't know if I would have included it on the blog, except that it is by far the all-time most viewed of all the sermons we put on YouTube. So people seem to be interested in it. The part that I find most intriguing is the part that gets mostly ignored in this passage, the question of what it means to allow yourself to be stained by the world. So you can click on the link and listen to that one. And then finally, Sermon Joy to the World from Psalm 67. preached this sermon right at the beginning of Agape in the first year when we were only about 50 people. We pay taxes because we have to. We eat banana splits because we want to. This sermon will help you make your commitment to missions more like your commitment to banana split eating and less like your commitment to paying taxes, so you take the same delight God does in the nations having joy in Him. Some excerpts. God's objective isn't just the maximum number of worshipers. It's maximum variety of worshipers. That's why He wants worshipers from every language and tongue and tribe and people. So when someone comes to your church who's really different, that person is a treasure. And if you're different, that adds to God's glory in your church. And if the churches in the United States sent out missionaries, this statistic just blew my mind. If the churches in the United States sent out missionaries at the same rate as churches in Singapore, we could send 100 missionaries to each remaining unreached people group in the world. So, judge based on how many unreached people groups there are, and that is varies depending on how you define an unreached people group. But by one definition, we could reach them all. We could send 100 missionaries to every single one just from the United States if we sent out missionaries at the same rate that the churches in Singapore do.